Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. We'll be spending most of our time in these two books this morning. 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Many times when we read about the history of Israel, you may be like me, and sometimes we think of the three first kings that were in the land, Saul, David, and Solomon. When I was growing up, I was always taught, well, you know, Saul reigned for 40 years, and David for 40, and then Solomon for 40. So you start thinking, well, that was just an easy transition. But it really was not. It wasn't that a king died and everybody just knew who was going to be the next king. It just happened. That's not the case. If a king died without firmly establishing the reign of his son, then there was trouble, and a lot of times there was turmoil during that period, you know, when the throne was up for grabs. Even when God had already indicated who it was that he wanted to be the next king. And this is what we see in 1 Samuel. Because in our reading this morning that Ryan read for us in 1 Samuel chapter 31, the nation was left kingless. Saul took his life. So who is going to be the next king? Well, we know that David was going to be the next king. Saul already knew that too, that David was the anointed. But Saul died in 1 Samuel 31. And probably most people knew that God had promised the throne to David. In 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 17, it says, "The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand," speaking to Saul, "and given it to your neighbor, David." So Saul knew that the kingdom was going to be given to David. Jonathan, Saul's son, also knew that. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 17, says, "He said to him, 'Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you.' Saul, my father, also knows this." So Saul knew that David was to be the next king. Jonathan, Saul's son, knew that was to be so also. And Abigail, who at this time was a citizen of Israel, was also aware of it. If you turn over a few pages to 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 30, it says, "When the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel." And so here, again, here is another person who understood that David was to be the next king. And Abner, who spearheads the campaign against David, knew it as well. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "When they bring it about, for the Lord has promised David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies.'" And so it seems to be, you know, pretty clear, at least in the few passages that we've read in these people's minds, that God has made his choice about who is to be the next king. Saul knew it, Jonathan knew it, others knew it as well. But yet, despite all of this knowledge, there was great turmoil at this time. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, instead of allowing the kingdom to simply pass to David based on God's promise, Abner, who was the commander of Saul's army, he set up another person. He set up Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, as king. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him up over to Manaim, and he made him king over Gilead, and the Asherites, and Jezreel, and Ephraim, and Benjamin, and all Israel." And so here, no, he knows who it is to be king, but he goes and sets up somebody else. And for about a period of 2 years, there's a lot of turmoil, and all this trouble happens because people lost their perspective in a time of trouble. And we need to be able to keep our perspective in a time of trouble. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Many times there are things that happen in our lives that cause us to lose perspective. It may be that we face some kind of troubled times. It may be our health. It may be the loss of a loved one. It may be because of a job loss. Or there's some kind of turmoil in our family. And sometimes there's turmoil among brethren. And when these kind of things happen, whatever kind of struggles and troubles people go through, it causes people to lose perspective. And to keep greater trouble from occurring, we have to maintain proper perspective. You know, a lot of times the things that we're going through are no fun, and they are challenging, but we can make those things even worse. And here we see a situation where a change in leadership is going to be a difficult thing. And if it had gone according to God's plan, if people would have recognized God's plan, it would have gone a lot smoother, even though it still might have been a little bit of turmoil there. But this happens because people get caught up in the moment and they make poor decisions. And so we want to look at some of the characters in the story to learn some common pitfalls that we might also have that cause us to lose perspective and how we ought to maintain proper perspective in our life. First character we want to look at is Abner. Abner is one that had his perspective altered by loyalty to a man. Abner, as we've already said, had been the commander of Saul's army. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth. And so here is one that is in a place of honor. And Saul had a lot of respect for him, evidently, to put him in that place. And he could have also given honor to God, but he's more concerned, evidently, about giving honor to his former boss, Saul. And so he is in a position where he could have honored God, he could have followed God, he could have protected God's anointed. And that's what he did while Saul was anointed. But he didn't recognize that about David. Even David recognized Saul as God's anointed, even when Saul was seeking the life of David, and Saul was behaving in such a way that you wouldn't think that he was real interested in doing what was right. But even at that time, when David could have rationalized and said, you know, I know that Saul is God's anointed, but he's really not treating me right. He's not acting like God's anointed, so I can do what I want. But that's not the attitude that David had. In 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 10, David said, behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today in my hand in the cave, and some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. And so here David is in the situation where he is able to take his life. But he doesn't do it. He doesn't take the life of Saul. He said, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. In chapter 26 and verse 11, he says, the Lord forbid that I should put out my hand against the Lord's anointed, but take now the spear that it is at his head in the jar of water and let us go. So a couple of times, you know, David has the opportunity to kill Saul. And certainly that would have made, seems like it would have made things easier for David, because David's life was in danger as long as Saul was still around. But David was not going to take that matter into his hands. He would not lift a finger to harm Saul. But Abner is one, while David had perspective, the right perspective toward God's anointing, Abner did not. He lost perspective during this time of trouble. And he was aware of what was going on. He was aware of what Saul was doing. He was aware of what David was doing as well. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24, starting in verse 20. Now behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Swear to me, therefore, that by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore this to Saul. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. And so this is a situation where Abner is aware of what's going on here, and is aware of what Saul has said, and is aware of what David had said. But when Saul died, Abner continued in his position of loyalty to a man, and that man was Saul. He was loyal to Saul and his family, even after Saul died. And instead of allowing the kingdom to come to David, as God had planned and purposed, Abner takes matters into his own hands and establishes Ishbosheth over Israel. Again, in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Abner takes Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and makes him king. clearly that was not what was supposed to happen, and Abner knew that was not supposed to happen. But he had this unswerving loyalty to Saul and his family, and this is really what caused the majority of the turmoil and division and trouble at this time. Now, I understand that loyalty to a friend can be a good thing. It's part of what we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's talking about the relationship that we have with one another. And that loyalty and believing all things is believing the best about another person. It's part of what love should be. But our love for God, our loyalty to God, always has to trump any loyalty that we have to men. And Jesus demonstrated this in Matthew chapter 10 when he said that I have not come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And those of us that have been blessed to grow up in households where everybody is on the same page and everybody is wanting to worship God, that is a great blessing. But what Jesus is describing here is that when there is a choice to serve God or to serve your family, if there is a choice between peace with God or peace with your mom and dad or your brother and sister, you have to choose peace with God first. You have to have turmoil with your family if that's what makes you loyal to God. So when you make a choice, make the right one. Our devotion to human relationships should never cause us to turn away from God. But that's what Abner did. He had loyalty to a man, and he understood that was not God's plan, was to make Ishbosheth king. He had loyalty to Saul while Saul was king, and it was Abner's job to honor and protect and follow Saul. But when Saul died, he should have kept his mind focused on what was God's plan. And that was for David to be God's anointed. David respected and honored Saul's family. But to make Ishbosheth king in the face of God's decree was really a terrible loss of perspective on the part of Abner. And eventually led to his death, as we read about in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 27. When Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the midst of the gate to speak with him privately, and there he struck him in the stomach so that he died for the blood of Ashiel, his brother. And so Abner was killed by Joab, and because of all this turmoil that he had caused. And it's very easy for us to be the same way today. Christians will sometimes be led into error because of their devotion to a man. There are many people that have followed after family members. There are preachers that have at one time preached the truth and then they get caught up into some kind of error. And it is amazing what you see happen is that the wife and the kids and the brother, the sister, the brother-in-law, the sister-in-law, the parents will all follow after that person. When you know that at one time they all knew what the truth was, but they will follow that error because they are dedicated to that person more than they are dedicated to God. And they may not see it that way. They think that they may be enlightened, but they have been led astray because of their devotion to a family member. And we can't be that way. If a parent or a beloved brother or sister in Christ goes into error and we just follow blindly behind them because of our devotion to that person, we're going in the wrong direction. If a preacher or elder or somebody espouses error and Christians follow them because of that loyalty to that person, they're going in the wrong direction. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when the apostles were told that they were not to go and preach anymore, Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man." Whatever the case is, we have to be loyal to God over man and be very careful about following after someone that you respect that's come up with some new idea, that's come up with some new way of looking at the Scripture, and then people follow after that, giving up everything that they knew to be true before. Be very careful about following after the whims of somebody that is going in a different direction. Ish-bosheth is one that also had a perspective that was altered by the fear of a man. It's interesting here that Ish-bosheth, it doesn't seem that even though he was Saul's son, he's not making a play for the throne. Abner was the one that was doing this. Abner was the one that was pushing Ish-bosheth into this. But here is an example of one that was perfectly willing to follow after what somebody else wanted to do. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Abner the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Manon and made him king over Gilead and all Israel. So you see here what it says? It says that Abner is the one that went and took him and brought him to do this. This isn't Ish-bosheth's idea, but he followed after it, and we don't see anything in these passages that relate to Ish-bosheth wanting to make a play for the throne. Did he know about David being promised the throne? I don't see a passage that specifically says that Ish-bosheth knew that, but I don't see how he couldn't know it. Abner knew it, and Jonathan knew it, and Saul knew it. His own family members knew it, so I'm sure that he knew it as well. It just stands to reason that he knew, just like his brother and his dad knew, that David was the next one up. So why did he go with Abner's plan? Well, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11 tells us Ish-bosheth could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. He feared Abner. He allowed his fear of a man to warp his perspective. Instead of submitting to David according to God's promise, he followed after Abner's plan. And also, in the end, this is something that led to his death as well. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. They came into the midst of the house as if to get wheat, and they stabbed him in the stomach. Then Rechab and Baanah, his brother, escaped. When they came into the house, as he lay on his bed in the bedroom, they struck him and put him to death and beheaded him. And they took his head and went by the way of the Arabah all night. You know, this is starting to play out like a mini-series, that there's all these people that are plotting against each other, and it's all happening because they're not following God's plan. And not following God's plan led to Ish-bosheth's death. Again, Jesus tells us not to fear men. We shouldn't fear men, but Ish-bosheth feared Abner. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says, "Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." The worst thing that could, you know, the very worst thing that could happen here was that Abner could kill Ish-bosheth, but God could kill Ish-bosheth and cast him into hell for his disobedience. So don't let people bully you into denying the truth. Don't let people push you into not standing for your convictions. The worst thing that they can do is to kill you. And while that may seem like that's horrible, God is the one whom we should fear. We shouldn't fear what men can do to us. If we stand up for God and man kills us for that, God will reward us for standing up for Him. But if we lose our perspective and fear man, it doesn't turn out well. Others that lost their perspective was Joab and Abishai. Their perspective was altered by seeking revenge. In the beginning, these two may have had the proper perspective. They were ones that followed David and the plan of God, but in the midst of the turmoil, they also had some factors which skewed their perspective. Abner killed his brother Ashiel. Abner had not wanted to kill Ashiel, but Ashiel kept pressing the battle. As we see in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23, Abner slew him. And so we see a lot of death going on in this situation. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19. Ashiel pursued Abner, and as he went, he turned neither to the right hand nor to the left, following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Is this you, Ashiel?" And he answered and said, "Abner, it is I." And Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right hand or to your left, and seize one of the young men and take his full." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said to Asahel, turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How can I lift up my face to your brother Joab? But he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner struck him in the stomach with the butt of his spear so that the spear came out his back. And he fell there and died where he was. And all he came to the place where Asahel had fallen and died. Good deal. And so, here we see that Abner, trying to avoid this, you know, ends up striking somebody with the wrong end of the spear. And again, this is all happening because people are not respecting what it is that God would have them to do. We read on in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 17, it says, Abner conferred with the elders of Israel, saying, for some time past, you have been seeking David as king over you. Now then, bring it about, for the Lord has promised David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies. Abner also spoke to Benjamin. Then Abner went to tell David at Hebron all that Israel and the whole house of Benjamin thought good to do. And so Abner eventually comes over to David's side. Joab and Abishai were caught up in revenge here. And you know what they ended up doing was they just make matters worse because they end up killing people that could help unite the kingdom. But they're so concerned about avenging blood of their brother. And what we see here is that people sometimes lose perspective because they have a desire for revenge. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, Paul tells us that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. That's not something that we need to take into our own hands. We have to leave it to God. But it's very easy for people to want to take matters into their own hands, cause them to battle people when they should not be battling. Focusing on God's plan and God's purpose is what should have been done here. But people will battle each other. Instead of realizing that the battle is against Satan, they'll battle each other. And so when people are opposing the will of God, we need to understand that our purpose is not to battle men, but it's to convert them. And we see in this situation here that things got out of hand when people are interested in doing what they want to do and are interested in taking matters into their own hands. There are also a couple of other characters that we can see here. Rechab and Baana. And these two play a very little part in the greater turmoil of this account. But as this conflict is winding down, Ish-bosheth was not really a factor anymore. These two men step in. And why do they step in? Because they want a reward. And they conspired against the one that they claimed as king and killed him. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Now the sons of Rimmon, the Berethite, Rechab and Baana set out. And about the heat of the day, they came to the house of Ish-bosheth as he was taking his noonday rest. And they came into the midst of the house as if to get wheat, and they stabbed him in the stomach. And Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. When they came into the house, as he lay on his bed in the bedroom, they struck him and put him to death and beheaded him. They took his head and went by the way of Arabah all night. And they brought the head of Ish-bosheth to David at Hebron. And they said to the king, here is the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. The Lord has avenged my lord, the king, this day on Saul and his offspring. So here, they kill Ish-bosheth. They want a reward. And so they go and do this. Materialism and reward is what governs these two. Now, what you notice is that they're now serving the right person. I mean, they're going to David and saying, hey, we know that it's supposed to be you, and we've taken Ish-bosheth out, so he's not a threat to your leadership anymore. You know, what you want to give us for that? Second Samuel chapter 4, verse 9, David answered Rechab and Baanah, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Berethite, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life out of every adversity, when one told me, 'Behold, Saul is dead,' and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him at Ziklag, which was the reward I gave him for his news." You hear what David's saying? Yeah, there have been others in the past that have come and given me what they thought was going to be good news to me, where they took matters into their own hands. And when one told me Saul is dead and thought he was bringing me good news, he was killed. That was the reward he got for his news. How much more when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house on his bed, shall I not now require his blood at your hand to destroy you from the earth? So David is saying, you should not have taken this into your own hand to kill Ish-bosheth. Now David commanded his young men, and they killed them and cut off their hands and feet and hanged them beside the pool of Hebron. But they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in the tomb of Abner at Hebron. So they wanted a reward. Well, they got a reward, but it wasn't the one that they were seeking. Their skewed perspective did not do anything for them except to seal their own death. Even though you could say, well, they're finally serving the right man as king, it was their skewed perspective that rendered their service unacceptable. And it's very easy for people to get caught up in the things of this world and to lose perspective and start focusing on rewards that seem to make life easier. It's easy to focus on houses and cars and clothes and electronics. And we can easily become distracted by these things of the world, but we don't need to lose focus on the things of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 tells us to set our minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. And while we may be serving the right God, if our perspective is skewed by material things, it's going to make our service unacceptable because we just don't have the right priorities in our life. So Rechab and Baanah, they were seeking material reward. But they couched it in, oh, well, look what we've done for you, David. When we look at this account, the only man whose perspective that was bound by the plan of God is David. You know, David, in this context, I know David has his faults, which we see later in his reign. But at this point, what we see in this general area of the Scripture is that David really serves as a shining example through this whole problem. He doesn't get caught up in the emotion of the moment. He doesn't get caught up in all the planning and backstabbing. His perspective was governed by God's will. Yes, he did lose his perspective at times, but throughout this, you'd have to say that David's character here, his attitude toward Saul, his attitude toward Ish-bosheth, his attitude toward himself, it was impeccable. Yes, there were things that were going on which were unfair to David. David knew that he had been anointed to be king, but he was not going to take on that before it was time. He was going to become king according to God's timetable. And when Saul and Abner and Ish-bosheth were killed, did he rejoice? No, he mourned their death. Had a very good character and had the right perspective. And David did not have a hand in taking the life of any of the people that conspired against him. Let's read on 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 36 and 37. All the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all the people. So all the people of Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner, the son of Ner. So when these wicked people that had the wrong perspective were killed, David didn't have anything to do with it, and the people understood that that was not David. It had not been the king's will that Abner would be put to death. You read on in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, starting in verse 1. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron, saying, Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. And so David was vindicated, and he was made king over the nation. And there was really no magic formula for him to keep the proper perspective. He simply trusted in God's promises. And he trusted that God was going to work out his plan in his own time. And when you look at this and look at the age that David was, it really is remarkable that he was able to keep his cool and keep his perspective. He was a very humble man. He just simply obeyed God. And he refused to get in the way by taking matters into his own hands. He let it play out in God's time. Is that easy to do? Is it easy to keep perspective when everything around you is going crazy? When people around you are being unfair? When you're being persecuted? And other people are taking matters into their own hands, and there's a lot of pressure for you to do the same thing. Can you keep your cool? Can you let God reign? Or do you have to take over the reins yourself? If we are governed by God's will, then we will have success. And we will. Anything else that we try to do is going to lead to our spiritual death. But when we lean on God and be governed by His will, it can lead us through all things, no matter how troublesome they are. So when your life gets a little bit out of control, you think, look back at David. Is your life any more out of control than what David was at this time? But David continued to put his trust in the Lord and not take things into his own hands. And it all worked out for good for David. And it will work out good for us too if we'll trust in the Lord. We can help you in any way to do that today. If you have not trusted in the Lord by taking advantage of His great offer to be buried in baptism, have our sins washed away, and rise to walk a new life. If you started that life and haven't been faithful, if you want to come back to the Lord at this time, we'd invite you to do so while we're standing.